now lift him up.
Bless the Savior up.
Lift him up.
Bless the Savior.
Still he speaks from eternity. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
Amen, amen, amen. The best news for all times. The best news for all times. If I had but one message to give to the entire world, if the world were my audience as a gospel preacher, there really would only be one message to give. Because if I had just one chance, I would want to give them the best news that they need to hear.
Amen,
amen somebody.
Amen.
And whether we know it or not, tonight may be our last night. So what do you need to hear tonight if tonight were your last night? Let's go to the Word of God in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse number 30. Everybody's all right? Tonight, stay awake a little bit longer. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And I wish I had time to give all of the background. So if I were a Jew and I heard throne of David, I would immediately know what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Because it was prophesied in the Old Testament that the Savior, the Messiah, would come through the seed of David. And so when he heard throne of David, it would catch his ears in verse 33. And he will reign over the house of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, the children of Israel. Jacob, Israel, same person. Underline forever. You see, and this statement, and his kingdom will have no end. I hope you know the importance of saying his kingdom will have no end. Because if you look at some of you history teachers in here, if you look through world history, you will see that there have been many kingdoms. There have been kingdoms all throughout history. And I did a little search, and I wish I had time to go over the top 10. I'm just going to pick three of the kingdoms. Some of you may have heard about, some of you may have not. For instance, the Russian Empire. The Russian Empire lasted for little over 200 years. Here's a map of their territory, and it was so immense. It included at that particular time 176 million people. This is about 1913. It was 9% of the world's population, but the Russian Empire does not exist today. It is gone. Why is it gone? Because people got tired of being ruled by force. And they rebelled, and the Russian Revolution put an end to the Russian. It crumbled it up, cracked it up, and diminished the landmass. And an empire is something that has control. It has power. It has dominion. That's how you label something as an empire. Then you had the Mongol Empire. The Mongolian Empire, if you will. It was an empire, it was the largest contiguous, in other words, the largest empire that had all of the boundaries that were connected. It had more land than any other empire that had ever been seen in the world. 1270 to 1309. Genghis Khan, some of you may know about Genghis Khan, who was one of the leaders, and he was over this large, huge empire of people. And some of you, it was so big, but it's amazing. Some of us have never heard of it. Why? Because it doesn't exist today. Well, what happened to this empire? The Black Death. You know what happened? Disease, the plague, if you will. It killed from 50 to 75 million people. You know what? When God is still in control of the whole world. Man might think he has power and might and land and gold and silver and has control, but man is not in control of this world. And then you have the British Empire, if you will. The British Empire, we still see Queen Elizabeth and Great Britain, and we see all the pomp and circumstance. Well, that's just show right now. Yes, they have beautiful men who stand in the front of buildings, but they have little power compared to what they used to have. It is labeled by most historians as the largest empire of the world has ever seen. It had the largest army, military of all times. It had the largest landmass. Not only it controlled their territory, but territory in other lands. It used to control India, land all in Japan, all of these lands controlled by the British Empire. It was powerful and mighty. Then World War I comes. All the soldiers start fighting, and they keep fighting. They lose soldiers. They start spending money on everything. Their resources are diminished, and here comes the British Empire tumbling down. They used to own India. India rebels, says, no, we want our own land. Go home. You can't have us. Japan's colonies, people got tired of being ruled by might and by power. And they fought back, and now the British Empire has been diminished to a country that has pride, but you don't have the power or the money to do the things that you did. And so when you go back to Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, when you read at the end of this verse and it says, his kingdom will have no end. See, that's the kind of kingdom you want to be a part of. That's the kind of kingdom that you can put all your marbles, all your energy, because you want to be on this side of the kingdom. Yes. And the Bible says about the kingdom of our Lord and Savior that it won't end. And you know what forever is. It says forever it will be. And aside from their leadership models, all of these three kingdoms that I just named have something in common, and that they are no longer here. They don't exist in the way that they did. But the kingdom of Jesus is not established on, or was not established by force. And it is not maintained by force. Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. And he says the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And that's a powerful thing to say, that hell won't prevail against it. But you know that Jesus conquered death and the grave on the third day when he arose from the grave, never to die anymore. And it says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst say, come. And the scriptures say to anybody that might be here, even this night, whosoever will. You see, Jesus doesn't twist anybody's arm to be a part of his kingdom. And I thank God for that. See, sometimes we try to twist people's arm to believe what we believe, but you're doing something that God haven't done. And he says, whosoever, and that's what we say. That's what we extend. See, Jesus' kingdom has been established. He did it there on the day of Pentecost, after 50 days after his resurrection from the grave. And he says, whosoever will, let him come. But there's something that you have to hear in order to come. And we give it that message, that news, because it is the best news for all times, even now as we live. But he says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart. Learn of me. That's what Jesus says. And if there is any in here who wants to be a part of Jesus' kingdom, we have to listen to his word. And we have to learn what God would have us to do. But he says, my yoke is easy. Because, see, under all of those kingdoms, one of the things that was common is that people got disgruntled with government. And they got tired and complained about how they were being abused and misused. But Jesus says, my yoke is easy. And you'll only know that until you put his yoke on. You'll only know that until you experience the life of a Christian. Because in Jesus' kingdom, life is not perfect, but oh, it's easier than living for the devil. Oh, yes, it's easier than living for the devil. As a Christian, you should sleep better. Because you're not worrying about a lie you told to somebody. You're not worrying about hooking and crooking somebody, because you're doing thus say the Lord. You're living a life that's filled with goodness and mercy and love for all people. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy. And he says, my burden is light. And I know there's maybe somebody here right now, but Gary, I'm a Christian and I'm having some burdens right now. But you know what? I don't care what kind of burden you have. When you know you have the hope of forever, and the kingdom of God, your burden should be lighter. Yeah, it should be lighter. And he said, and there is truth in that. Go to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 23. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 23. The best news for all time. This is why it's the best news. The scriptures say the former priest, on the one hand, we don't have time to read it all, but he was referring back to the priests of the Old Testament. Some of you know what's in the Old Testament. And I had so many priests who served. They served in these courses. They served at different times. And there were a line of priests from the lineage of Aaron and Levi. It says, on the one hand, for the former priests on the one hand existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. Now we're talking about a temporary system as compared to this permanent system that's about to take place. And you know, death would change all kind of plans. Death will alter all kinds of plans. Yes, they were priests, they were ordained by God, but they were still men. And they couldn't last forever. And you know, you would think that death ought to keep everybody humble. I mean, death ought to make a crook humble. I mean, we live our lives like we gonna live forever, and we absolutely know that we're not gonna be around here forever. Amen. Every time we go to a funeral, every time we turn on the TV and somebody dies, we ought to say, "Mercy, Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do?" I was looking and looking on the internet a couple of days ago, and it said the leading cause of death in teenagers. Now it has been replaced by accidents. It's saying the leading cause of death in teenagers now is drug overdose. And I say, Lord, have mercy. And you know, we think that old people die. Old people are not the only ones dying. And death changed the plans of these priests who wanted to serve God, and they had to be replaced because they died. Just like if you think you are invaluable on your job, die and see what name gonna be on your desk tomorrow. Yeah, some of us think we the best thing since sliced bread. Oh, I know my wife loves me. You die and find out. Amen, somebody. They'll be spending all your money on somebody else. Long as Sister KB though, y'all. If Sister KB do that, y'all. Yes. But listen to this in verse 24. Verse 24, Hebrews chapter 7. But Jesus. Everybody say, but Jesus. Oh, Lord, this is the best news for all times. But Jesus, it's a shift from what the priests were. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues, everybody say forever. I wish I knew how long forever was. You know what? I don't know, because it never ever ends. Amen. See, you say, well, you can't even fathom what forever is. You say, brother, I'm 100 years old. What's that? With God. We're talking about, for he says he continues forever. Notice this. He and holds his priesthood permanently. That's why it's the best news. Anybody in here have a good boss? You have a good boss, you just love. See, under the kingdoms, as long as there was a good leader, as long as there was a good man, a good government, a good organization, things ran well and it was good for all. As long as you got a good boss, you like going to work. And you love it, but guess what? That boss not going to be around forever. No, and things change as they all. Listen to Judges chapter 2, verse 7. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elder who served Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord, which he done for Israel. If you read down in Judges, after the elders died, the people did evil in the sight of the Lord. Good times were over. But the scriptures say Jesus will be the priest permanently. He will be the priest forever. And why? And the reason why that is good is because of verse 25 in Hebrews chapter 7. Therefore, he is able also to save forever. Everybody say forever. Yeah. He's also able to save forever. Now, wait a minute. If Jesus can live forever, if his priesthood is forever, if he was given all power in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, he says, all power has been given unto me in heaven. He says, in heaven and in earth. And so there's no power that Jesus don't have. And what we want to be connected to is the one who has all the power. Yeah, you want to be hooked up to the one who has the forever power. All the power. And it says, listen, he says, therefore he's able also to save forever. Notice, now this is to you, and this is to me. Those who draw near to God. Through him, yeah, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, another lesson, but they all are one. And the way you draw, way we draw near to God is through the Savior. It's through Jesus. It's through his teaching. Notice he says, since he always lives. No, but all of these forever, all of these always, he always, that's important because your boss gonna die, your wife gonna die, your husband gonna die. Don't put all your eggs in that basket. Yeah. I know it, and we live life. Some of us, if our children die, we dead. Yeah. Oh, yes, we ache, we'd cry, we would weep, but your children can't get you to forever. And we need to keep that in perspective as we live this life, because this life will beat us down. Yes, and the scriptures say, since he always lives, notice this, to make intercession, Lord have mercy for us. Jesus is our high priest now. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And some of this you need to know something about a priest. See, the priest's duty was to offer sacrifices under the old law. His duty was to offer sacrifices. And he'd offer these sacrifices every year, and sometimes more than once in a year. And his duty was to intercede for those who couldn't go to God themselves. Jesus' priestly role, primarily, that does two things for us even while we live today. Jesus already offered himself up as the ultimate sacrifice. In church, he's not going to do that again. And I'm glad Jesus is not going to do that again. I'm glad that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus suffered and died for us. Excruciating pain he did for us. I'm telling you, I wouldn't do that for us. I'm just telling you the truth. One young man told me, he said, but again, well, Jesus knew he was going to go back to heaven, and so he could do that. He could die like that. I told him, you come on up here, strap yourself to this table, and I'm going to hit you 40 times, but I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to hit you 40 times, and you're going to heal. And he said, I'm not doing that. I said, why? Because I'm not going to kill you. Well, you just saying that. I said, I'm not going to kill you. He said, I don't want to do that. I said, how in the world you think Jesus wanted to do it? To die? I don't care if he did know that the Father was going to raise him up. And Lord, have mercy. Yeah, that young man, he got real, real quiet. But notice this. Jesus already died. He's done that already. But this is what he's doing even today. Right, this is why this is the best news for all time. He's already died, but he lives today to make intercession. Notice this, for us. He continually makes this intercession for us. You know what intercession is? Let me see if I can help you a little bit. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, that's Old Testament, but into heaven itself. When the Bible says Christ is at the right hand of the Father, he's literally in heaven right now. He says, not, notice, everybody say now. He entered heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God. Everybody say, for us. God, Jesus is with God. right now making intercession for us. Some of you act like you don't know what intercession is. It's when somebody is speaking up, talking up, praying up, trying to help our hard head behinds. Oh, have mercy. I can just hear Jesus right now. Give her another chance. I can hear Jesus. Be patient with him, Lord. Be patient with him. Don't you hear Jesus right now? She's trying, Lord. She's trying. She's trying. She's trying. Look at her. She's trying. I can hear Jesus right now. Lord, it's going to take a little longer with this one. It's going to take a little bit longer. You got to remember, you know how he was raised. You know his daddy wasn't there. His mama wasn't. You know him, Lord. God, you know. You know everything about him. I don't have to tell you that. But just, it's going to take a little longer with him. Or don't you hear the Lord say, she's battling, Lord. Or she's fighting. She's battling. I know she's missed. She hadn't been in a while, but she's here today. And she's trying. Don't you see the tears? Lord, he's weak. His daddy was like that. His granddaddy, you got to give him a chance, Lord. That's intercession. Lord, that's intercession. That's intercession. I thank the Lord that I had some brothers in my family. That my brothers were older than me. And they all interceded for little young Gary. They saved me from a lot of spankings. And some of them I didn't even know about. Some of them they just protected me from. And to know that Jesus is interceding for us ought to be enough to touch somebody's heart in here. See, listen to this. And you see, this is why it's good news, see, because God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. God is already like that anyway. And then God the Son, he intercedes, and it makes God even more long-suffering, and he makes him more tolerant. Why do you think you still here after all the stuff? Why do you think you still here? And some of you who've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus, that's going to come a time when you're like any daddy, like any father who loves his children, there's only so much anybody can take. And that's why this is the best news for all times, because while we still have breath, while we still have life, it is time for us to move. Let me end this. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. For it is fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily like those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, then for the sins of the people. Notice this, don't put all your hope in any man. No. I appreciate respect. I appreciate the brothers giving me respect and showing me respect. I appreciate the respect of the church. But don't put all your hopes in Brother Gary Smith. And no other man or woman, because we have feet of clay. Just like I have to go to the Father for the sins I've committed, I want to go to somebody who I know is going to. You might come to me and ask me to pray for you, and I got so much sin in my life that my prayers are not getting through to God. And as a child of God, you can go to the one who you absolutely know. Not like those priests who even some of us put our stock in some folks in the denomination world. You know, the Pope comes to town and they traveling 10,000 of miles kissing the floor that he walked on. Get up off that floor. No man, no woman that walks on this earth deserves that honor, kind of honor and respect and reverence should be saved for God and God alone. Because he died once for all when he offered up himself. Romans 5:9, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Praise the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why this is the best news for all times. Because even this day, even right now, we extend the Savior's invitation to anyone who was willing to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's good. The word gospel means good news. I hope you didn't. We just call this good news just because those are two good words. It is good news that no matter who you are, where you come from, what you have done, you can claim forever. You can claim. You can be a part of a kingdom that has no end. And I know life has disappointed us and people have let us down. And some people, we can't hardly fathom being a part of a winning team and something that's going to last forever. But that is our promise. And if you're here tonight, and I know they're probably primarily saints, but I know there's somebody here who hadn't been baptized. And some of us as Christians, we've gotten so used to the invitation that we are in a hurry to leave and not even hear the invitation. Not realizing that we lay claim on eternal life and we ought to want everybody who is somebody to be in the kingdom also. And we extend that invitation to you, and I hope it doesn't get old to you. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is the message of the apostles. This is the message of Jesus Christ. This is the message of the early saints, early Christians, all those we can read about in the Bible. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he owes all power in his hand, that he is coming again one day, that's faith. In Jesus as our Lord and Savior. You must be willing to repent of your sin. Nobody is perfect. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. One thing I didn't understand for a long time. And I'm like, why do secular ministers leave out the call to repentance? Because sin is why Jesus came into the world. He left the world. He left the pearly gates of heaven because we messed up so much. How in the world? You know, it's like asking when you're in a class, you do something wrong and you want the teacher to accept you back and you haven't acknowledged what you have done. I don't think we can all handle everybody telling exactly what we've done. But I know somebody you need to acknowledge it to, and that is to God. And the beautiful thing about being a Christian is that literally, I don't care where you've been and what you have done, the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to wash away all your sin. Amen. That's why, to me, it ought to be droves of people. Every time we extend an invitation, all my sins are washed away, all your sins can be washed away. You must confess with your mouth what your heart believes. And raise your hand if you are proud to be a Christian. Raise your hand. Amen. See, notice this. Now, hands up is that's simply stating that I'm glad. You are acknowledging to anybody that's around you that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you confess with your mouth what your heart believes, Romans 10:9-10. The scripture say in Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Gee, you get to heaven, you're standing before the pearly gates, and it seems like we're standing before God, and you confess that I'm a Christian, I love God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You do that while you're on earth. When you get to heaven and you're there, Jesus, is that one of mine? Yes! Yes. 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 She does. She. Her family knows she's a Christian. She tells it at the family reunion. Folk on her job know she's a member of the body of Christ, of the church of Christ. She's not ashamed. His homeboys know he's a Christian. Amen. Amen. You can't be ashamed that you're a child of God. And you don't have to go around wearing a T-shirt saying I'm a Christian. But people that know you ought to know there is something about you. And you must be baptized. Brother Diggs alluded to a baptism. You must be baptized in water. I was at a church. Well, I was talking to some preachers. And we're going around the table talking about some things. And so we started talking about baptism. And it just got a whole different atmosphere started. And like they didn't want to talk about baptism. I'm like, okay. And then I realized they didn't want to talk about baptism because there hadn't been very many baptisms. And some of us here, this is to the saints here, Don't you ever get so callous about baptism.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't you ever get so nonchalant about somebody going down into this watery grave of baptism. That is one of, baptism is the culminant. No, notice this. Baptism is not the only thing that we ought to do to be obedient unto God. But it is the culminating act that puts us into Jesus Christ. And when the people asked Peter on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And on that day, 3,000 people were added to the body. I sometimes in my mind, I try to picture how they did it. There were 12 apostles. I don't know if they all baptized them, but I know 3,000 people got baptized. I don't know how long it took, but they baptized them the same. Now, how in the world would any man of God say to anybody that baptism is not necessary and it's not important? And so if you are here today, we've had 3 baptisms this week. To God be the glory. You plant the seed, you don't know where the seed goes. Yeah. And there is the water. And is there someone who needs to be baptized tonight?
Amen.
You've just heard the best news for all times.
Yes.
That's not a, I know you may want to hear a sermon on marriage and on families and on parenting and on stress and on conflict, and I understand. And the word of God, there's something in the word that pertains to all things. All things pertaining to life and godliness. But know this, if you haven't claimed forever, if you haven't claimed, if you're not a part of the kingdom that endures forever, well, the Bible says the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Notice this, and he is the savior of the body. And the body is not you by yourself. The body is the collective body of believers, of saints who have been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you might want to be a better parent, but you better save your soul first.
Yes.
Amen, somebody.
Yes.
And see, that's business that you need to take care of with urgency.
Yes.
Like right now.
Yes.
Amen, somebody. Somebody need to be saved tonight. Somebody need to ask for prayer. Somebody need to get something right. Come right now as we stand and sing.
Where there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.